And the United States got a gold the other day, yesterday. Right? Rowing? Rowing. I thought it was swimming. There was one in swimming. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. We're not going to be left behind, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, where are we going to start here? Okay. Maybe we should start in, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24. Let's see. First Corinthians chapter 9, 24. I couldn't pass this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. We're going to read that part. And then we're going to move on from there. Hallelujah. I thought this was kind of relate to the Olympics. Right? Because they're running a race too. Right? It says in verse 24. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. He says, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize, right? That you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. You know what temperate means? It means self-control. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. And guess what? Ours will never fade away like theirs will, right? Theirs will get rusty and old and they might even lose it. Who knows? But not ours. Not ours, no. It says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty that I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Bring it, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. But we're not like that, are we? We practice what we preach. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want you to turn to another scripture. Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3. We're going to read a little portion out of that here. We're going to read from, we could even read all of it, from verse 12 on. We'll read from verse 12, maybe all the way to the end of the chapter, okay? Everybody there? Okay. Philippians 4. 13, 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. My brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. In other words, like the Olympic contestants, they have to forget all about the home life for a while. Right? They're in Japan, right? Tokyo, is it? They have to leave that behind for a while because they've got one thing in mind, and that is to get a medal, right? Whether it's gold, bronze, silver, or whatever. But they want to get that medal, and that's what they're striving for. That's what they've been training for, right? Yeah. I press toward a goal. Verse 12 says, I press on that I may lay hold for that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. You know what? I went online a little bit and I went to see what the heck they're doing. But this is their, listen to this, this is their typical training day for the Olympics. Okay, there's 5 points. Number one, 8 a.m. run, 6 mile run, which takes about 45 minutes at your own pace. Number two, 10 a.m. swim 4,200 meters, which takes about an hour, according to them. Okay. 3 p.m., bike 2 hours, easy spin. 2 hours. 9 a.m., run on track 2.5 miles, a 2.5 mile warm up. And then a 2.5 mile cool down. Okay? You have to do. And last of all, 3 p.m., bike intervals, 90 minutes total. That's what they have to do every day. Anybody here want to be in the Olympics? That's pretty vigorous training, isn't it? But they do this every morning. Okay, and I've got here a few rules that they have to follow. Okay, train every day. Number two, keep your focus on your goal. This is their own rules here now. Okay, be specific in your training. And then another, one, two, three. Number four, fuel your body for peak performance. I don't know what they do to fuel their body, right? Maybe have a drink a good cup of coffee. No? Okay, coffee's out. Okay. Here's another very important one. Know when to rest. Right? Gotta know when to rest. Training is good. All that. Good exercise. But know when to rest. And the last one is have the perfect form. Hold your head up high. Relax. Oh no, it says relax your face and upper body. So, you know, if you're all uptight, you know, you're not going to be relaxing, you know. You're so worried about, well, am I going to make it? I want to get that gold or whatever medal. But anyway, that's what they go through. So the contestants, they do a lot of pressing. And exercising to prepare. And then, of course, they have to concentration. And Paul says, it says one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know, this sounds like a lot of work, right? And then you might be sitting there saying, yeah, but Pastor, hasn't Jesus done all this for us and we don't have to work anymore? Well, you're partly right. You're partially right, but look what Philippians 4:12 says. Philippians 4:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for it, but work it out. Now that you got him inside, he says, We have this treasure now in earthen vessels, right? We have a treasure within, right? Okay, I got another scripture here. 2 Timothy 2:15. Probably read that already. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, where are we? Oh yeah, there's another point. First of all, we have to work it out, right? We're not working for it, for our salvation, right? We're working it out. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. He doesn't like slouches, does he? A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So how are you supposed to tell the lost out there if you don't know the truth? How are you going to tell them if you don't know it? That's why it's so important, right? To present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to rightly divide the word. Hallelujah. So there's our responsibility. That's a lot of things to do, right? We don't have to work for us. Maybe let's just carry this on a little farther. This thing about doing. Let's try to carry it on a little bit farther here, okay? Of course, you know that the Bible says we're saved by grace. Through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. We know that. Right? We know all that. So that's a good thing to know. Because by grace we are saved. But in Matthew 25:14, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it speaks about they were given out different talents. Okay? One was given 5 talents. Another one was given 2 talents. To another, he gave 1 talent. You know, the important thing to remember is it doesn't really matter how many talents God gave you, but what you do with them, right? But whatever talent you have, you're supposed to use it. And don't be like the one who got 1 talent and he went and hid it and he dug a hole and buried it. We're not supposed to bury our talents or giftings. Because if you do, the church will be lacking. The body of Christ will be lacking because you haven't done your part. Yeah, but I might not be very good, you know, and what will people think of me when I make a mistake and on and on and on, right? So I will just bury my talent. I know I can probably do a little bit of that. Maybe I can do a little speaking or teaching or maybe I can play the drums, right? I know I could do that, but man, I get up there, you know, and I might really make a mess of it. So I'm not going to bother. I'm just going to just pretend that I don't know how to play drums. Or I don't know how to play a keyboard. Right? I just keep it quiet. Nobody will ever know that I can't play very good. Right? Well, if we all stayed there, nobody would be playing. Right? Because we got to start someplace. Yeah. The one was given 5 talents. With the 2 who were faithful with what they had been given, the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things." Ah, here come the rewards. And these are not temporary rewards, right? These are eternal rewards. Rewards that will take you all the way through eternity. Who knows how long that is. But don't you think it's important? Anybody? Anybody think it's important? I think so. Yes. But the third guy, that's where he was at, right? He said, "I'm going to go hide it. And when my master comes back, it will be in good shape. It will be, I'll even polish it up, right? It will be beautiful. I give it back to him and maybe he'll be pleased." Was he pleased when the master seen it? Oh, he wasn't. He wasn't pleased at all. And you know, this kind of veers us off to another subject. That is the gift of salvation. Okay. Well, you know what he told that third servant who didn't do nothing with his gift? He said, "Cast him into outer darkness." Right? He says there was much suffering going on after that. Gnashing of teeth, wailing. What does that remind you of? Well, if you want to carry this to salvation, which is the greatest gift we can get. The gift of salvation is the greatest gift we can get. You know, there are many people probably in hell now that wish they had taken the gift of salvation. There's a scary thing about it. There is no way out. There's no way out of hell. Once you arrive, that's where you are. You see, there's no time in hell. Just like there's no time in heaven, right? Once you arrived in heaven, that's it. You're there to stay forever and ever and ever. But if you want to go to the other one, that hot place, that's not very good. Not very good. So the people are part. Some of those that will try to give an excuse. Why didn't you accept Christ? It was free. The gift of salvation is free. Even though we're talking about some works today, but the gift of salvation is free. You don't have to work for it. So don't get the wrong idea of what I was saying before. I was talking about working it out. You see, once we get that treasure within, now we got to work it out. There you go. And that's the greatest gift there is. Some would probably say, yeah, but I thought there was other ways to God. I thought maybe, you know, if I went after Hare Krishna or Muhammad or one of the other ones, I would be okay. You know, I would get to God. Is that what the word says? Oh, there is only one way, Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, isn't that kind of narrow-minded? You know, Jesus is the only way. I mean, there's so many other gods out there. You mean Jesus is the only one and the other ones are false? You got that right, baby. You got that right. The Bible says there's only one way that we must be saved. Right? Only one way. Not two ways, three ways. Some of those Indian gods, they must have thousands of gods, right? I don't know which one. I think they might have one for every day of the week, or every day. They serve and worship a different god. But thank God for us, we know the truth. And the truth sets us free. And you know, that truth, with that truth, we can enter into His rest. Right? You know how these people that go after these other gods, they live a horrible life, a stressful life. They're trying to appease God one way or the other. I wonder if I'm good enough today. I wonder if He will accept me, right? We don't, but we're not that way. We know the truth. We know the truth. So we thank You, Father, for that. For the truth that we have. We thank You, Father, for that treasure. But one thing, when you receive that treasure, it's like, you know, are you saved? Yeah. How do you know? I don't know, but I have a knower in me. I know that I know that I know that I know. I can't really tell you why I know that. Well, one day I just accepted Him. I said, Lord, I need help. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell, so please save me. Guess what? He was right there. He says, well, that's what I wanted all along. I wanted You to accept me. Right? So, we no longer have to strive and worry. Are we going to make it? Wonder if I was good enough. We don't have to. Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the Bible says, the truth. No one comes unto the Father but by me, not by any other leader or whatever they have. But there's only one way to go. Jesus. Oh, now that we know that, we can just walk like the Olympics were supposed to, our heads held up high, right? Marching forward. Telling others about the Lord. So the other day I was walking to the park there. And there was a street lady. You probably see. She's always down. He's sitting there right by where the bathrooms are. He's sitting there and she's muttering. So I said, you know Jesus? But she did glibly say yes. But I told her, you know, you have to accept Him into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you. And I don't know if she was on drugs or what, but it's like the elevator didn't go right to the top. Maybe we should have done a deliverance on her. I don't know. Anyway, if you see her downtown, come and talk to her. Right? I gave her a few bucks to help her along the way. Every time I see her, I'm going to talk to her again. So God is wishing that no one should perish, right? That all should come to repentance. Yeah, so that's why we preach the Word of God. Someday, maybe we'll even see them in heaven, right? Yeah, but we got to do our part. Well, how many talents have you got? Maybe one thing, you have the gift of gab. Everybody has. Everybody's got a gab, right? Some have a better gift of that than others, right? But we all have a tongue. We have a mouth, right? We can do our part. But what we need to pray is, Lord, give us opportunity. As I walk through downtown, wherever, whatever I do, I go shopping. Lord, show me something that needs you. Show me somebody that's going to be open to you, right? Because the days are not looking that good right now, are they? In the world. So we don't know how long we have. Maybe we've got another year, you know? You know, we can't sit back and just wait for the rapture. That's going to come. It's going to come. One day, the Bible says, as a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. From mortality to immortality. I can hardly wait. And you know, even as you get older like me, you kind of say, Lord, can you hurry it up a little bit? But then he whispers in my other ear and he says, no, your work's not quite finished. Come on. Your work's not finished here yet. Just keep on keeping on. Occupy, right? Occupy. Yeah. Because you don't want to leave, you don't want to lose any rewards, right? You see, we're not doing things for to get, except for maybe rewards, right? See, there's a judgment seat of Christ. That's when our rewards are going to be handed out, right? But we want a full reward, right? And we want the famous, awesome words of Christ saying, well done, good and faithful servant, right? I gave you a few talents, I give you a few giftings, and you have not buried them in the ground. You have done what I've asked you to do. See, the Lord knows each one of us by heart, and he knows if we're doing what he has gifted us to do, right? Some of us have giftings, and we need to use them, right? There's many here in church that are using their giftings, right? Well, Father, we thank you for that. Oh. Bring us back. We're running. Run. Run. He says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. 27. And bring it into subjection. That's when I preach. Others, I myself can become temperate. That's the word. But we have a responsibility. Right? We're not just sitting in church here. Yes, we are sitting here to be blessed together. It's an awesome thing. Right? But like the scripture says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. So we come here to hear the word. But then we got to go out there and do it. Right? There's lost people out there. They want to hear the word. Want to hear the truth. And sometimes it gets a little smoky out there. The message gets smoky. They don't really know where the truth is, what the truth is. But it could come from you. It could come from each one of us as we're obedient. Right? So the thing is, we need to be obedient. The Lord says, go speak to him. Yeah. Amen? That's my message. So let's close. Let's everybody stand. And we're going to close in prayer. Hallelujah. I believe everyone here has accepted Christ, right? But maybe there's somebody here that's not quite sure. So I told my brother just before he died. He died in a crash on the highway. He came to my place. I said, Ernie, on your way home, if you should have an accident, you should die. You know where you would be. Where would you be? Well, my brother's answer was, well, I hope to be in heaven. I said, well, are you sure? He said, well, he says, maybe I'm not quite living the way you are. But I've accepted him, so I believe that my faith is with the Lord. Amen. Even though I didn't see much fruit. You can never give up. You can never give up on people. Even if they're on their deathbed and you're saying, oh, I don't think there's any hope for him. Right? He's a done deal case. We can't say that. We don't know what's going on inside. Like the thief on the cross. He squeaked into it at the last minute. And he didn't. And if you think salvation is by works, he didn't have any works at all, did he? He didn't have time to do any works, right? All he did is say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all it took. And acknowledging. Yeah, acknowledging Jesus. It was a simple I believe in the brothers in heaven. That's our responsibility down here. Our responsibility is to have heaven. Those that haven't heard with their heart. See, there's a lot of preaching on TV. There's a lot of different people that are not in the world. It's only when it resonates in here. That's what's going on. Doesn't resonate. Yes, Lord. I'm in desperate need of you. I don't know about you, but I was desperate. I said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Well, he says, I'm right here. Just acknowledge me, accept me. I'll be with you all your days. And I will guide you all your ways. Good enough for me, Lord. Thank you. From that day on, my life changed. See, all we need to do is acknowledge him, and he's going to change. He's the one. He says, what the changes are heart. Because once we say yes, Jesus, that treasure comes again. Treasure. What a treasure it is. We have that treasure. Like gold medals, they fade away, but that treasure never fades. So we're going to have this person. Enough said. Pastor, that's enough said. So, Father, I thank you this morning for your people. For your precious people. For they are a treasure. They are a treasure unto you. One day they acknowledge you. So, yes, Lord. I'm going to not accept you as my Savior. Lord, I just pray that everyone will have an assurance. They will not have to be afraid when their final day is coming. Thank you for that. Give you all the praise and the glory. People said, amen.